pastor here. If you are visiting with us here in our second service, let me say that we have just a table right back there in the back. It says new here. And if you'll fill out one of those cards, and you can drop it, and there's the boxes at our giving station back there. You drop it in there. We just have a letter we'd like to send you, and we want to thank you for being here today and welcome you here to Encounter Church. It's good to have you, and welcome everyone on our in our online audience. And come on, church, let's just welcome everyone that's joining us today, all right? God bless you. Thank you so much. Good to have you. Let me also mention that I know Pastor Justin said something about a meeting for those that desire or lead a small group here at Encounter Church being this Friday at 7. And I just want it, maybe you something in your heart where you want to, you know, meet with a small group of people, love on them. You know, you have a topic or something that you would, you know, to a special interest that you would gather about or whatever it might be. We want to invite you to come and be with us next Friday evening at 7 o'clock. And I know that God is doing great things in your life, and wants you to take what he's done in your life and just share it with others. And you don't have to be, you know, a lot of people, they want to, but they're a little scared to do something like that. Listen, you can just relax, okay? Because I've found out that if I will just make myself available to God, he'll do the rest. So if you would like to lead, you're a member here at Encounter Church, and you'd like to lead a small group that, you know, we do some of them during the week. We have some that meet during the week. We have some that they'll be meeting on Wednesday night. That's when we'll have all of our child care and such. And then we're going to start offering some that want to do it on Sunday morning and during our first service. If you want to, you know, lead a class, and we'll be, you can do it there and all, as well. And we're going to have a lot of some different things, topics. And I forgot to do something in the first service. I forgot to mention it, but we're going to be sending out a survey to you, to all the married folks, and maybe those that are really close to marriage, you feel like you're there. We're going to be doing a marriage class as well as a financial class, but we're also going to be doing a marriage class for all of us that we can, you know, have healthy marriages. And but what we want to find out is, are you more likely to attend on a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning? And something similar to a Sunday school. And, you know, both of those, Wednesday night and Sunday morning, we'll have child care. We'll have nursery and children's church and things such as that for you. So you'll be getting that information soon. And just let us know which one you would prefer, all right? Hey, I am excited about being here today. I'm glad that you're here. Although I can barely see you because I'm so hot, my glasses are fogging up here. And all, but it is good to see you. You look beautiful today. And I'm going to be talking about hope is here. Look at your neighbor and say, hope is here. We're talking about God's desire. And God's desire. I'm going to be a little bit transparent with you. Even all some of you visitors that don't know me yet, you're about to learn a lot in just a few minutes here. And several years ago, I was in law enforcement. I was a police officer, and during that season in my life, I lived a very ungodly life, immoral life, and I was married to my beautiful wife, Jeannie, she's working right now in one of the departments. They needed her today. She was here during the first service, but in June we'll be married 40 years. Just to let you know that, and 40 years. I mean. And all the new people were like, man, you don't look that old. And 40 years we'll be married. And I'm so thankful for that. But during this season in my life when I was in law enforcement, I didn't live a very, very healthy lifestyle. You know, and some things got exposed that hurt my wife deeply. I mean, she was hurt to the core, okay? And yet she remained, you know, married to me. And one thing I didn't mention in the first service, I'll say now, is this guy that was just standing up here, that's my son Justin, by the way, he and his wife are our children's pastor, is that during this season, she found out that she was pregnant with him. And so that's one of the things that kept our marriage together. Stacy was around, well, she's 3 years old at that time. And but we went through a very difficult time of seeing our marriage restored. And once I recommitted my life to Christ, because I was called to the ministry like at age 16 before I ever even knew her. And once that was restored, that call to ministry was still there. I was kind of shocked about it, but the call to ministry was still there. And so I went through a credentialing process with the Assemblies of God. In 4 years, I was ordained through the Assemblies of God. And during that time, I also pastored my first church. And it was a nightmare. I mean, it was just nothing but a nightmare. And a lot of it my fault. You know, ministry wasn't in my heritage. My dad's not a preacher. My grandfather's not a preacher. My great-grandfather wasn't a preacher, you know. And so this was some kind of something new. And it was the pit. Yeah, preachers in training. That's what that word means, pit, in case you wondered. Preachers in training. And it was a very difficult time. And we were just wounded. We were hurt. And so when I resigned that church, we went back to the church because it was in the same area that sent us out there. And all along, God was telling me that I needed to go to another church in the area. And I did, for a solid year, I did not go. And I had met the pastor during the time I was pastoring that first church. We'd went to lunch, and he was just a great guy. And so I'm trying to make a long story short here. And God was saying, you need to go there. You need to go there. And one of the reasons I didn't, because it wasn't an Assembly of God church. It was a Church on the Rock church. And in the Assemblies of God at that time, this is back in the 90s, okay? At that time, in the Assemblies of God in that particular district, if you had credentials with the Assemblies of God, they wanted you to attend Assembly of God church. Even though you weren't pastoring, you still needed to attend Assembly of God church. And so it kind of put me in a place of where I felt like God was telling me, you know, I need to go to this particular church there. But yet for a solid year, I stayed in this other place. And things were a bit unhealthy there. I went on a season of fasting and prayer. I got away for 3 days. A friend loaned me their place they had out in the woods. And I went out for 3 days. And God spoke to me at the end of that third day in such a way that, I'm not joking, God spoke to me in a corrective way, so much so. And he always speaks with love, but it was a corrective way, in such a clear way that my knees began to shake. I was just such in what I felt like was in the presence of God. And here's what he told me. He said, if you don't obey me, the God who called you can also remove that calling if you do not obey me. And so I had tried to resign as I was like an assistant pastor at this church and at that time. And I tried to resign verbally a few times and always was talked out of it and things. And so what I did then, after God spoke to me that evening, I went and I put it on paper and I resigned. And Jeannie and I started attending that other church, and we were there about 3 weeks. There were about 500 people in the sanctuary, and an evangelist was there that did not know us. He called my wife and I. We'd only been there 3 weeks. He called my wife and I out of the crowd, and he said, God has sent you here for a time of healing, but be patient. Let that healing come, and then I'll send you back out. I mean, this guy didn't know us from Adam. I mean, we didn't know him, but it was just such a word from the Lord and confirmation that's why we needed to be there. And we were still hurting from the church that we'd been pastoring, and our marriage was honestly still going through a healing time, you know. When there was that much woundedness and that stuff going on in the marriage, it doesn't happen necessarily overnight. Sometimes it takes time. And so there were still some things there. And I've always been a person of prayer. That's just something that always, I know some people may struggle with it a little bit, but I've just always been the person that loved to pray. And I loved early morning prayer. And even when I was pastoring, I was bivocational in that first church. And I would get up sometimes like at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I would just, before I'd go to work, and I would spend time in prayer. It was just something that wasn't really, I didn't feel like it was a sacrifice, you know. It was something I loved doing. And so in the process, Jeannie and I had moved back into the old house that I was raised in. Kind of weird, you know, being back in the old house I was raised in. In fact, Dad had sold it after he and my mom divorced. He had ended up selling the house, and my neighbor owned it, and we rented it from him. And so we moved back in there. And I remember it like it was yesterday. And I'm kneeling down to pray. It's about 3 o'clock in the morning. And I hear this voice tell me, you need to tell your wife everything. And I was like, first thing out of my mouth was, get behind me, Satan. That ain't God. You know, Satan, you're just trying to mess with my prayer time. That's what you're doing. God's forgiven me. That was exposed. I asked my wife to forgive me, and she has. And Satan, you're trying to, disrupt my prayer time. And it went on morning after morning. First thing when I'd kneel down, you need to tell your wife everything. You need to tell your wife everything. And I'm like, no. And it would get so intense sometimes, I would stand up in prayer and say, Satan, I told you in Jesus' name to get behind me. Stop trying to remind me of my past. I'm praying to God. You're trying to interrupt my prayer time. For about 3 months, this went on. And then I went to, with this particular church we were a part of, I went to Chiapas, Mexico, and out into the jungle, and we built 2 churches while we were out there. And just from the ground up, we built 2 churches. It was just so in the jungle that we ate MREs. You know, that's military rations is what we ate while we were out there. And we stayed in tents and all. But the whole time I'm out there, I'm just still. Laying in that tent at night, I just feel this voice telling me, you need to tell your wife everything. And I'm like, stop it. This isn't God. And so when we finished building the churches, and I can't remember where we flew out of, which major airport there. It was either Acapulco or what's the other big town there? I can't remember now. Acapulco or somewhere, you know, one of the bigger cities that we flew out of, a major airport. But on the way back there from the jungle, we had rented a bus. And we were staying, and we were all riding there. And we stopped at the Mayan ruins. Just so us guys, there's only men on this trip, and so we could go just tour the Mayan ruins and see them. And so I got off the bus, and I was walking out among the Mayan ruins, and some of the guys went this way, and I ventured off by myself. And I said, God, if this is you, if this is you, I need confirmation. I cannot go back to my wife. It had been a 2 or 3 years. I can't remember the exact time. It had been a few years since everything was exposed in my life, and I'd caused her a lot of pain. It was a lot of pain. She went through a lot of things. And I said, I've got to have confirmation. I can't do this. I cannot do this if I don't know for sure that it's you. And this is the church that God had sent us to that told me I needed to go to. And so I get back on the bus, and some of the guys are still out there walking around. And the senior pastor of that church, he's sitting across the aisle back behind me, about 2 rows behind me, and there's about 3 or 4 guys around him. And he doesn't know our story at all. You know, he knew I was a pastor, but he didn't know our story. And so he begins to tell those guys around him how that when he was in law enforcement, that he had done some very wrong things to his wife. And that after he got into the ministry, that one night he was laying in bed and God spoke to him and told him he needed to tell his wife everything. And right at that moment then, I just broke and I began to weep there on that bus because I knew what I had to do when I got home. I didn't need any more confirmation, you know, that right there, that God had sent us to that place just for that moment. And so I knew when I got home that I had to sit down with my wife. Even this is after we'd been ordained in the ministry and everything, and that I needed to tell her everything that happened during that season. And, of course, she was hurt again. I called my pastor, and the one who was telling the story, and I said, man, can we come over? And we went over there, and they helped us. And Jeannie punched me a few times, which I deserved it, you know. And she was just really upset and all. But also during that season, I didn't share this with the first service, but just to show you again, during that season, I mean, God confirmed to her in a very supernatural way that we needed to, you know, that she needed to stay in the marriage. And that's, you know, that's been over 30 years ago now. And we've seen God do tremendous things in our life. And but if I wouldn't have obeyed God in that moment, I don't think I'd be here right now. I don't think I'd be in ministry anymore. Because God did more than confirm it. And the whole point of that story is this. Friends, our life was in chaos. Our life was in chaos. Confusion. But let me tell you something, my friends. The Holy Spirit of God, and I'm going to say a word, was hovering over us that whole time. Working out his plan and his purpose in our life. That when, if we would just obey him, if we would just obey the voice of the Spirit, what he was doing was bringing order out of chaos. And he was preparing us for the future that he had for us, friends. Getting us ready. And you know, when I confessed all that to my wife, that took a weapon out of the devil's arsenal against us. Because he could never use that against us again because she already knew. He could never bring that up again because she already knew. He never, and that just removed a weapon from his arsenal in that moment. And friends, I want you to know that what we experienced was the supernatural power of God bringing order into our lives out of chaos. And for his plan and his purpose, he kept us together. He healed our marriage. And why? Because he had a plan for us and he had a purpose for us. And my friends, the Holy Spirit will do the same for you. And whatever you might be going on in your life, wherever there might, in your family, there's maybe chaos or something that's happening in your life. The Holy Spirit will do the same for you, my friend. He's hovering over you right now. He's hovering over your life right now. And how do I know that nothing is impossible with him? It's because the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 1. At the creation, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the earth. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Hovering. That word hovering is a very interesting word, my friends. Just hovering. And it also, and from that place there, it goes on to say, in Genesis chapter 1, 10 times the Bible says, and God said, and God said, and God said. What was God doing? He was creating the heavens and the earth. He was bringing order to chaos to fulfill his purpose for planet earth. To fulfill his purpose for planet earth. And why he wanted the planet Earth, and why he created mankind. And the Holy Spirit was there the whole time. And that word hovering, and it gives us a little bit better definition in the book of Deuteronomy, because it's used one other time in the Old Testament, that word hover and what it means. It said, and when he says him, it sounds singular, but in this passage of Scripture, it really means the children, the whole nation of Israel. And what he's taught, he said, sometimes he'll just use like the name Jacob to mean the whole nation of Israel. And he says this, he found him in a desert land and in the wasteland, a howling wilderness. He encircled him. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye, as an eagle stirs up its nest, hovers over its young. There's that word hover again. It's like an eagle spreading its wings over you, spreading out its wings, taking them up, carrying them on its wings. And my friends, that's what the Holy Spirit was doing when God created the heavens and the earth. And it wasn't just hovering. That word hover also means this, that he was moving about. And what was he doing moving about? Is that when God spoke, the Holy Spirit was moving and bringing about creation in the order in which God wanted it to be. And my friends, I don't know what might be going on in your life, but here's what I do know, is that the Holy Spirit is hovering over your life. And that God loves you. And I don't know how far it may seem that it could be someone that's not here, that someone's in your family that's gone right now. It just seems like there's no hope for them. But my friends, can I tell you that if God in His Word and the Holy Spirit hovering there can bring order out of chaos, He can do that in your life right now as well. I've seen it happen in my life. I've seen it happen in our marriage. And God uses us tremendously now to help other people. But I've seen God do things that only God can do, my friends, that only God can do. And He wants to do that for you today. He was creating the earth, think about this, to fulfill His purpose and His desire. What was His desire? Well, let's look at John chapter 1 if we can. John chapter 1, over into the New Testament. Now, in the beginning, the Word already existed. What it was the Word? God spoke. He spoke His Word. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him. And nothing was created except through Him. Wow. And let me just stop right here, and I'll read in just a moment. That word created in the Hebrew, it's the word, B-A-R-A is how you spell it, but that word created means that God created something out of nothing. Don't you think about it? That's not something we can do, my friends. You and I can't create that way. We can't create something out of nothing. But God, that word created there, means God created out of nothing. Did you hear about the conversation that God was having with a scientist? And the scientist thought, well, man, we're so advanced now, so well advanced, is that we can create human beings. You know, the cloning thing, clone animals and all of that, is that we can create. So this scientist arrogantly tells God, says, look, let's have a creation duel. What you create, God, I can create. I tell you that God, whatever you can create, I'll create. And so God says, okay, I'll answer that duel for you. And so the young scientist begins to reach down and grab some dirt, and God stops him right there and says, uh-uh, go get your own dirt. So my friend, that's what that word creates. God created something out of nothing. And He can take whatever's happening in your life, my friend, I promise you, and He can take what's in chaos and bring order to it in your life by the power of His Holy Spirit. But it goes on to say the Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Wow. And if you know the Bible, you know what He's talking about there is Jesus Christ was there in the beginning. The Word in the beginning was there with God when He created the heavens and the earth. And right here it says He brought light. The light shines in the darkness. What is the first thing that God created? The Bible says, and God said, let there be light. And let me just add this real quick. God didn't look down and say, it's not dark, it's not dark, it's not dark. God never denied the darkness. He just spoke light. He spoke light. He spoke light. And I don't know what area may be happening or going on in your life. Denying it won't make it go away. What'll make things change is when you declare the Word of God and speak the Word of God over it. His Word is powerful, my friend. Wow. His Word is powerful. But in John chapter 1, verse 14, we see a glimpse into what God's desire is. Why did He create the earth and mankind? Here, we're going to see it here. So the Word became human, Jesus Christ, and made His home among us. Wow. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen His glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. In that verse right there, we catch a glimpse of what is God's desire when the Bible says He made His home among us. Why did He create the heaven and the earth? To sustain life, because God wanted to dwell among His creation, my friends. He wanted to dwell among His creation. And let me just say, let me just add this to this message. It's not in my notes. To everything God created, he said, it is good. It's good. It's good. It's good. Until he got to mankind and he created Adam and he looked and he said, wait a minute, it's not good. It's not good that man should be alone. So he created Eve, took a rib from Adam and he created Eve right there in that moment. Why? Because it's not good for man to be alone. My friends, that's why we need each other. It's not good for man to be alone. But what is God's greatest desire? And very quickly, I've got just three things I want to mention here today before I close. What is God's greatest desire? And I don't know if you've ever heard this before or not, but I want you to know today that God's greatest desire is you. God's greatest desire is you. It's you. Have you ever thought about that? He longs to dwell with you. He loves you. He's a great God. He's a great God. And he wants to dwell with you. That's who he is. In fact, the Bible tells us in, well, let me go, I'm going to back up. Just got one scripture I want to read. Again, he said this, and this is the Old Testament scripture in Exodus after the children of Israel have been delivered from Egyptian bondage. In Exodus 25 and 8, it says, God was telling Moses, have the people of Israel build me a holy sanctuary so I can live among them. God's greatest desire, my friend, is you. God's greatest desire is to live among his people, his creation. That's his greatest desire, to live among his people. That's why our vision statement here, the very first part of our vision statement, is we want people to encounter God. And we want everyone, every person that we come in contact with as a church, we want every person to develop an intimate relationship with God. Why? Because we know it's God's desire to have a relationship with you. That's his he desires you. God's Holy Spirit has been brooding over your life because he desires you. He desires you. Matthew 1:23, I love this. They're talking about the birth of Jesus. It says, look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to his son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. How? If you think about creation, you go back to when Adam and Eve fell in the book of Genesis. Who showed up in the garden? God did. Even after they failed. Even after they failed. And when Jesus came to the earth was in darkness, my friend. And the Bible says, he is Emmanuel, God with us. He desires you. John 3:16-17. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. Through him. God desires you, my friend. And you may be thinking right now, I'm not very desirable. Man, when I was raised in church, when I ran from God all those years, and man, I was living a very immoral life, and even after I got married, I thought I had disappointed God to the point that he would never be interested in using me again. I can remember I graduated high school in 1981. Some of you weren't even born yet. Graduated high school in 1981, and I was enrolled to go to Central Bible College, a Bible school, Assembly of God Bible School in Springfield, Missouri. Man, I'd been there to visit. Bought a plane ticket, went there and visited, and I was enrolled and accepted and getting ready to go when I graduated high school. And for some reason, I walked down to the recruiter's office and joined the Marine Corps instead. And that began many years that I began to walk and run from God. Had my first drink of alcohol on Main Site, Camp Pendleton, California, at the bowling alley. Never touched a drop of alcohol in my life. But right there, I began to see 30 bowling pins instead of 10. Because things began to change in my life at that point. And I thought, I'm so undesirable to God. I made a lot of mistakes. But yet, when I recommitted my life to Him, I found out that He still desired me. And friends, I don't know where you've been in your life, but I can tell you right now that God desires you. He desires you. I don't know what mistakes may have been there. I don't know what you've done to your family, or maybe something's been done to you. But I can tell you that God desires you. He desires you, my friend. How do I know that? Romans chapter 5, verse 6 through 8. When we were utterly helpless. You ever felt helpless? That means you were undesirable and there's nothing you could do about it. But yet God still desired you. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person. Though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good, but God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. While you were still a sinner, while you were still undesirable, God desired you. And He sent His Son. And now, friends, the Holy Spirit has been hovering over you because God's greatest desire is for you to be His tabernacle, if I can say it that way. For you to be the place He dwells in you. God loves you, and He wants to spend time with you, my friend. What is God's greatest desire? Number two, God's greatest desire is for Him to be your greatest desire. Wow. God's greatest desire is you. And God's greatest desire is also for Him to be your greatest desire. Remember, I read about the children of Israel earlier, and I went back to that scripture because I needed to make this point. Because God told Moses, build this tabernacle because I want to come and dwell among my people. Well, Psalm 106, verse 14 says this, in the wilderness, their desires ran wild. Testing God's patience in that dry wasteland. Wow. In the wilderness where God told Moses to build that tabernacle so I can come dwell among my people. It was in that wilderness that the psalmist wrote later. He said that while they were in that wilderness, their desires ran wild. What is that saying? Is that God desired them, but they didn't really desire God. They desired their own desires. And what God desires for your life, my friend, is for Him to be your greatest desire. Is that I desire God above all else. I desire Him above all else. Where are my desires exposed? Well, in the Bible, it says this in Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. You see, why is it that God desires you to desire Him? Because I told you that my wife and I, God has used us to help a lot of marriages because ours was on the brink of ruin, chaos. I mean, it was chaos. It was awful, my friend, and God has used us. And so when we sit before couples, you know, that their marriage is just in a very difficult time, when we sit before them, one of the things that I tell them is that I said, I can guarantee you this, is that if you will do what I will ask you to do, I can guarantee you that your marriage will be healed. I guarantee it, because it's not just something I read out of a book, it's something I experienced. But here's the one thing I tell them right after that statement, but it takes two. to see it happen. If one person in that relationship that has been damaged and is hurting, if one person does not want that relationship to be healed, it will not be healed, my friend. That marriage will not be healthy. And I can sit there and talk for hours and hours, but it will not be healthy as long as one person is sitting back saying, nah, I'm not interested in seeing this marriage heal. Takes two. And it's the same thing with a relationship with God. You can't step into the fullness of everything that God has for you and He wants for you until you desire Him just like He desires you. Like He desires you. What is God's greatest desire? He desires you. He wants you. He wants to dwell among His people. But He wants you to desire Him just the way He desires you. God, I want you. More than anything else, God, I want you. More than anything else, I want you. I desire you in my life, Father, more than anything else. I want you in my life. That's what He desires. That's what He's looking for, is for you to have that desire for Him. He wants to dwell within you, my friend. Can I give you a word of caution, if I may, please? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 through 3. This man, the Apostle Paul, is writing this, and he's the one who wrote the verse in Romans where, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He was talking about himself, because Paul was a man that, when the early church was first birthed, Paul was a man, his name was Saul then, that tried to destroy the church. But after his encounter with God, with Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus in the book of Acts, he then started building the church. There was a transformation in his life. And I promise you, my friend, his greatest desire was God, because he experienced that he was God's greatest desire. And his life was transformed like no other. And he wrote that in Romans chapter 5 earlier that I read. That while I was a sinner, he was saying about himself, while I was a sinner, Christ died for me. But then he writes to, after he planted churches and he had some guys he was mentoring and coaching along in the ministry, and he writes to one of them, Timothy, and this is what he tells Timothy. In 2 Timothy 4, verses 2 through 3, he says, preach the word. Be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently, Timothy, correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. That's what he's telling him. He says, for a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. Why will they not listen to sound and wholesome teaching? What he says next, they will follow their own desires. That's why God needs to be your greatest desire, my friend. Because we're living in a world. We're living in a world where by droves and multitudes, people are moving away from the Word of God. Why? Because they want to follow their own desires. They want to follow their own desires. God needs to be your greatest desires. Here's what I found out. When God is your greatest desires, everything else falls into line in your life. But he's saying right here, he said they will follow their own desires, and look at the last part of it, and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They won't listen to sound and wholesome teaching anymore because they're following their own desires, friend. Here's some good news. Philippians 2 and 13, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. Wow. How's He working in you? That Holy Spirit's working in you. Holy Spirit's hovering over you today. And He's working in your life to give you the desire to do what pleases Him. Will everything God asks you to do be difficult? Like the back, what I'm telling you, when God was telling me that I needed to tell my wife everything? No. 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 Will everything be easy? No, not really. That was one of the most painful decisions I've ever had to make right there, was to tell her. But I knew I had to obey God because I asked for confirmation and God gave it. I knew I had to. But here's the deal. That when God asks you to do something and you obey, God will back you up in everything that's going on. And God will be there to do what He intended to do, which is to bring healing into your life. He'll be there to bring healing and wholeness and completeness to whatever's broken, my friend. Because He desires you. And His greatest desire is you. And His greatest desire is for you to desire Him first and above all else, above anybody or any person or anything. What does God being my greatest desire look like? I have two scriptures here, Matthew 22, 37 and 38. Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." That's what greatest desire looks like. God, everything about me, I love you. With everything within me, God, I love you. I love you. Above all else, God, I love you. Above everyone else, I love you. God, above my wife, I love you. There's nothing wrong with saying that, because here's the deal. I'll be a better husband if I love God first. Above this church, God, I love you. Above this church, I love you. Love you. God, my life belongs to you. Now, this isn't happening to all the visitors that are here and home folks. This is not happening, okay? But if God told me tomorrow, He said, "Kenneth, your season's up at Encounter," I'd say, "Yes, sir." And then I'd ask Him what's next, and He'd say, "Well, He might not tell me. He may have me walk in faith for a little bit." Now, He hadn't done that. I'm just telling you that from my heart, God knows that too. I mean that with my heart. That this isn't mine. It's His. And He's first. He's first. And if He said, "Ken, I've got someone else to take Encounter Church and move it forward. I've got something else for you," I'd say, "Yes, sir." Because it's His. Again, that hadn't happened. But that's the place I feel like I've arrived in my life. And honestly, that's the safest place you can be. That He's first above all else. My greatest desire is you, God. And I love you with all of my heart, my soul, my mind, and my strength. Whatever you want, Father. Whatever you want. Psalm 37 and 4, I love this. Take delight in the Lord. Notice that word delight is first. Delight in the Lord, and He will give you your heart's desires. Delight in Him first, all right? God's greatest desire is you, and He desires that He be your greatest desire. And the last thing is this. What is God's greatest desire? God's greatest desire is for you to tell others they are God's greatest desire. That's His greatest desire. The three in one, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. All of these, you've noticed, I've said each one of these are God's greatest desire. They are. Is that you tell others that they are God's greatest desire. Won't you stand with me? I'm going to read a... See, Matthew 22, 39, just the second part of that scripture we read in Matthew. A second is equally important as Jesus was giving them the great commandment. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. I love my neighbor, and I'm going to tell them that they are God's greatest desire. They are God's greatest desire. And there's been oftentimes there's a bit of a misconception in the body of Christ. And sometimes people have thought this before coming to God and offering and saying, "God, here I am." Here's what they've thought. Well, I've got to get this right in my life, this right in my life, and this right in my life. Please, I'm just asking you. If that's your thought, it's not going to work. God desires you right now, just where you're at right now. And And if you'll just make him your greatest desire, say, yes, here I am, he'll take care of the rest, okay? I promise you, he will. He'll take care of the rest. And I don't know where you might be at. You're not too far gone for God. He loves you, and he desires you. He wants you to desire him, and then he wants you to tell others that he desires them. Jesus was, just before he was to leave the earth, he's sitting around with his disciples, and he said this to them. It says, then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him. Now, keep that. They worshiped him when they saw him. But some of them doubted. You ever met any of those stubborn people? I mean, there he was. After the resurrection, the living Jesus. I mean, Thomas had already been doubting Thomas and touched the wounds in him. And you know, Jesus had already shown him he's alive. But there were still some of them that still doubted. Wow. That he was alive. And there he is. But in that moment, they were worshiping, and Jesus spoke to them before he was to leave. And he says, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Wow. Friends, the only marching orders Jesus ever gave the church was to go and make disciples of all nations. What was he saying? Go tell others how much I desire them and I died for them. Go tell others. When you tell others, when we've got that relationship, go tell others how much I desire them and I love them. Let somebody else know how much I love them and desire their relationship with them. So much so that Jesus told them in Acts 1 and 8, he said this, he said, but you will receive power. And he told them to go there and wait until they receive the power. He said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. He said, not only do you need to go, I mean, you need to go and you need to make disciples. You need to tell people how much I desire them. So much so that I'm going to empower you to do it. I'm going to fill you with my spirit. And you're going to go and you're going to tell others how much I want them, how much I desire them. I'm going to do something powerful through your life. Powerful through your life. Through the power of my Holy Spirit. You're going to make a difference. Mr. Bailey, I was just reminded of this, and I just want you to know, sir, that you are making a difference out there at that prison that you volunteer at. I know it's God, but you're making a difference. I talked to somebody on the phone this last week that they told me, oh, my, and Mr. Bailey, wow, that guy is incredible, and he serves, and he just comes, and he loves, and thank you, sir, for doing that. But that's what God wants for us. You're his greatest desire. Did you know that? He wants to dwell among his people. But in the same turn, friends, he sent his son so that you could have a relationship with him. He wants to be your greatest desire. He doesn't want anything to take first place in your life. He wants to be first place. And I felt the unction to say this, and I said it in the first service. I need to say it now. His friends, we don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what's around the corner. But God does. And all I know is that he's going to need his children to desire him above all else. Above all else. And tell others about his love. And tell others about his love. Because in the culmination of it all, here's the culmination of everything, okay? I'm talking about in eternity. And I want to say this. I want you to know that he loves, he desires every person. He desires every person. But hell will be full of people that just rejected God and his love for them. God didn't send them there. God didn't send them there. Okay? He loved them. He desired them. But they rejected his love. He wanted to spend eternity with them. But they said no to him. It's not God. He loves every person. And he desires every person. Every person. And here's the culmination of everything. This is eternity, my friends. I'm skipping over a lot of stuff here, but this is eternity, all right? When Jesus has returned and we're all in his presence. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared. And the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. Let me stop right there. We've all probably been to a wedding. I've officiated weddings. And we've watched as that groom was standing right there. And then all of a sudden, the music played. And here come that bride walking through the back. Just dressed beautifully. Beautifully, my friend. And then that groom looked at that bride. And his first thought was, can we get this over with? Because I want to go be with her. That was his, I'm telling you, that groom is like, he saw her beauty as she walked down that aisle in that dress, and he's like, preacher, hurry up. Let's get to the reception and get the cake cut. We ready to go, man. I can tell you that's what he's thinking. He's like, okay, let's get out of here. Why? Because when he saw her in that moment, his desire was for her. Was for her, my friend. Desire was for her. And he said, the new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband, I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home. Here it is, friends, the culmination of everything. God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. That's been his desire from the beginning of creation, to dwell among his people, my friend, because he desires you. Every head bowed. Father, I love you. I thank you for this message. I thank you for the people that are here. Thank you for the people that are watching online. God, I thank you, Father, that you've led us to this place of being together as a family, that your Holy Spirit is speaking to us today. Father, I'm so grateful that you created us, and you created us because you desire us, God. You created a garden for Adam and Eve. You created this world to sustain life. Because you wanted to dwell among your people. And then you sent your son, Jesus, a few thousand years later. The Bible says that he came and he dwelt among us. Emmanuel, God with us. Why? Because, God, that's your desire. And Jesus made a way for us, God, to dwell in your presence, for you to live inside of us, for us to be your tabernacle. Jesus made a way on the cross. Why? Because, God, you desire us. And now, Father, you're wanting us to desire you just like you desire us. You've made a way for it to happen through your son, Jesus. And, Father, all we have to do is enter that door of Jesus Christ and believe in him and what he's done for us. The Bible says he's the only way. He's the truth. He's the life. He's the Word made flesh. the Word, that you created the atmosphere to dwell with Adam and Eve. And now He is still that Word that came to the earth, that created the atmosphere for us to dwell with You and You to dwell with us. And so, Father, I ask You to draw every person to Jesus Christ right now. Because You desire them, God. You're not angry with them. You want to spend time with them. You want to be their God and them be Your people. That's who You are. Holy Spirit, draw every person to Jesus. Nobody looking around, you say, you're here, you say, Ken, I've never surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. I see now how much God desires a relationship with me. I've never really known that before. And I've never surrendered my life to Him. And there's something pulling at my heart today to do that. If you're here and you've never done that, you're watching online. But if you're here, I want you to lift your hand and just put it right back down. Is there anyone here? You say, Ken, I've never done that. I've never surrendered my life to Christ. I've never walked through that door for salvation. I've never answered that call of the desire of God to have a relationship with me. If you're watching online and you've never done that, you can comment right there. We want to pray for you. And if you don't feel comfortable, you can contact us. There on our Facebook page is the phone number here at Encounter Church. You can call us, and we want to pray with you. We love you. God loves you. But if you're here and you say, Ken, I've never done that, I want you to just lift your hand, put it right back down. Anybody here? Just want to give it a moment. I want to give it a moment. Holy Spirit, as our prayer partners are coming, those that are here, maybe you're here today, and you'll just be honest, and you'll say, Ken, I've surrendered my life to Christ. I've experienced salvation, but there are some things in my life that I have become of a greater desire than God, and I recognize that in my life today. Well, every head is bowed, nobody looking around. I want everyone to be honest with what's going on. There was a time, listen, I was raised in church. And I was filled with the Holy Spirit at the age of 16. I remember that very well. It's when I was called to the ministry. But yet there was a time of my life when there were some other things I began to desire more than I desired God. And I walked away from that life-giving relationship with Him. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that when you seem, and I seemed 1,000 miles or 1,000 footsteps away from God. And when I took just one step back toward Him, I found out that He was right there. That He wasn't 1,000 footsteps away. He was right there. Right there. And you're here today, you say, Ken, I've let some things become more of a priority in my life. You just lift your hand and put it right back down. Anybody here? Thank you so much for being honest. Several hands going up. Anybody else? Anybody else? Some things have become more of a priority in my life. Anyone else? I want to pray for you. I want to pray for those at home. Father, in the name of Jesus, you saw the work of the Holy Spirit in this place, tugging hearts, and Father, reminding people that they are Your greatest desire, that You want to dwell among us. You want to dwell in us, that our bodies are Your tabernacle. Thank You for that, God. Thank You for Your Holy Spirit here. Thank You for Jesus. Jesus has made a way for us to say our greatest desire is God and a relationship with Him. Jesus has made that way for us to come right into Your presence, and I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful, Father, for the many hands that were raised saying, well, I've allowed some things to come in between me and my relationship with God. Today, Father, I believe with all of my heart is a day that they are recommitting, God. You're first. You're their greatest desire, Father. And Father, I pray that You would just fill them fresh and anew with Your Holy Spirit, God. With rivers of living water streaming forth from their innermost being. And God, I praise You and thank You for Your goodness. And I pray this in Your mighty name. Amen. Amen. Come on, church. Okay. Well, yeah, sure. Come here, sugar. a microphone?
Yeah.
Okay. Come here. Yeah. Is it turned on right here? Go ahead.
Your word today talked about the Holy Spirit hovering. In April, I was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. He hovered. He's been hovering over my life. For one, he brought a woman into my life. Because I'm alone here. I don't have family. Just my kids. And he brought this mother figure into my life. Because he knew he didn't want me to be alone. Stayed hovering. He brought other people into my life to help me through this journey. Because he knew it was not going to be easy. Then time went by. I lost my hair. But I never, never stopped praising God. Never.
Wow.
He would show me signs. My good friend, that's like a mother figure to me, had a party. And she had all these people there. They were getting off the trolley when they went to go see the lights. And in that moment, God said, look at all those warriors that I have that pray for you.
Wow.
It was 50 people, probably more. Just all of these things. My car broke down. The next week, he sent those people in my life, Debbie Royce, and said, we're going to pick up your car and we're going to fix it. Just hovering, hovering, and hovering, and hovering over my life. So much darkness, I couldn't even see light. Last week, my oncologist finally came in from visiting her mom from India, and she says, congratulations on your remission.
Come on.
It was so unexpected, but everything has to be in his timing, and his timing's perfect. Even when you get impatient, just pray. My favorite scripture, because I have short-term memory loss, was Jeremiah 17:14. Lord, heal me and I am healed. Lord, save me and I am saved, for thou art my praise. No matter what you're going through in life, take it day by day. God is so good. He's so good. He can get you out of anything, even that bad doctor's report. I didn't know if I'd make it through the year. But I never gave up. Because God wouldn't let me. And I'm still so stubborn. He had to hover over me.
Wow.
And say, look, Elizabeth, look. He even gave me the gift of the Holy Spirit, September the 8th. I forgot about that.
Wow.
So when I pray, I don't know what I'm saying, but he knows. Thank you all so much. Don't ever lose hope on anything in your life. Nothing's too big or great for God. Even when you least expect it, his timing is perfect. Glory be to God. Thank you so much.
Wow. Wow. Praise God. Wow. Thank you, Elizabeth. Thank you so much for sharing. That took a lot of courage. Father, thank you. Father, we thank you. Thank you for that testimony, God. Thank you for your goodness. I thank you, God. You are so good. Father, it took a lot of courage for her to even walk out of that chair and come up to the front and share. And God, I believe it for two reasons, God. First of all, she needed to declare victory. And Father, the second reason is because somebody else needed to hear just what you've done in her life. Because God, you want to do it in somebody in their life too. And so, Father, whoever that might have been for, I don't know who, but you do. Father, I thank you that hope is here. It's here because your Holy Spirit is here. Thank you for that, Father. Thank you for that, Father. Wow. Thank you, Father. Wow. If you need prayer for anything, we have prayer partners up here to pray with you. Don't leave. Even if you're visiting today, you don't have to be a member here. And I know sometimes walking down a church aisle among people that you don't know can be sometimes difficult. I understand that. But if you need prayer for anything, I don't know what matter what it is, I want you to let our prayer partners pray with you. I promise you, these people are incredible people, okay? I love you. Thank you for sharing, Dad. In a good way, you have wrecked my world. My goodness. Thank you, Father. You're so good. There's nothing impossible with God, friends. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. If you need prayer, let our prayer partners pray with you. God bless you. Come back Wednesday night. I'll be teaching on something that's one of the most freeing messages I've ever shared. 7 o'clock, we have youth, children, nursery. But if you need prayer, don't leave, okay? If you need it, come let somebody pray for you. I love you.